I invite you to turn tonight to Psalm 102. We want to read a few passages from the Word of God tonight. We want to deal with the subject of the faithful God. This morning we looked at the wisdom of God. Tonight we want to examine the faithfulness of God. And we read tonight from Psalm 102, beginning in verse 23, where we read, "He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Lamentations chapter 3. We've just sung this, so now we'll read it. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, where we read, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Where we read, God speaking says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." One more passage, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that it's possible to know thee. To know thee is most important, for the Lord Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We thank you for the revelation of yourself in the Word of God. And we thank you for the revelation of thee, the triune God, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and our completeness is in him. And therefore, our Father, as we multiply words tonight upon the sacred text, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You and I are living in the midst of change. We change. Everything else changes. Do you remember, anyone here old enough to remember, when you could get coffee for 5 cents a cup? Oh, those were the days. You could get coffee for a nickel a cup. And, of course, if you drink tea, I don't know what they charged for that. I think maybe they gave that away for free. I don't know. But anyway, those were days when I first started working at the electrical trade. We'd stop and get a cup of coffee. It only cost a nickel. Is there anything that doesn't change? You see, yes, there is. And that is the unchangeable God. In the 102nd Psalm that we read together, verse 26, everything else is going to change and decay as a vesture is going to fold up the universe. but he remains the same, the eternal God. In the book of James, chapter 1, we read, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow caused by turning. He is the unchangeable God. When we read Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. That's what we read from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I learned that lesson one night in a very unique way. We were having Stump the Preacher night at the close of our vacation Bible school, and the children brought objects to speak about, and they'd bring them up, and you had to say something in the gospel for every object that they brought up. And a little girl got out of the seat, and she carried a Pamper. I thought, what in the world is coming? That's what she brought. And so delicately, you know, this little girl came up, and attached to it was a verse, Malachi 3, 6. I am the Lord, I change not. I tell you, it caused the preacher to just start to disintegrate for a few minutes. But what a text. I am the Lord, I change not. Our God doesn't change. What men do does not affect him. What people think about him does not cause him to change his mind. Our God changes not. To Balaam, and through Balaam, he had to say, God is not a man that he should repent, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Our God changes not. He is unchangeable. Human ideas about God may change, but he is the same from eternity to eternity. Ever since Charles Darwin and the theory of evolution, people have gotten the idea that nothing is stable in the universe, that everything is changing. Well, if everything is changing, we're in big trouble. Because if everything is changing, that makes knowledge impossible. Let me illustrate that. Do you ever stop your car at a traffic light? And you were sure that you were stopped, but the car next to you was drifting a little, and you had a push on the brake, you thought it was you that was drifting? You see, if everything's changing and nothing is stable, then it's impossible to have knowledge of anything. Oh, thank God there's a fixed person in the universe. And that fixed person is God. In a day when men would like to forget about God, and we're trying to forget about God in America today. The news media is trying to forget about God. Our educational system is in full gear to cause us to forget about God. But God is a fixed point of reference, whether man likes it or whether he doesn't. He is. And you and I need something absolute. We have something that is unchanging to give meaning to life. And God is that fixed point. God is the unchanging, faithful God. We read from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. It is of his mercy that we are not consumed. And thank God, they're new every morning. Our God changes not. Now, number one tonight, God is unchangeable in his being. God always was. God always is. He ever will be the self-existent, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, unchanging God. God never changes. Time doesn't wear out his power. Old age has no effect on God, even though he is termed in the Bible the Ancient of Days. Old age has no effect on him. It may have an effect on some of us, but it doesn't on the eternal God. God does not become forgetful. You know the three signs of old age? I forgot what they are. You see, this truth becomes part of our devotional Bible reading. When we come to the Word of God to read it day by day, or evening by evening, whenever you have that time set aside that you're reading and meditating upon the Word of God, the fact that our God is unchangeable, that causes our devotion and our worship as we consider Him, who He is, to rise to God. As we read the stories of the Old Testament saints, this truth of the unchanging God becomes a rock underneath our feet. That's what he said to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1. He said to John, "Fear not," when John fell at his feet as dead. In about verse 18, he says to John, "He laid his right hand upon me," John says, "and he said unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." That should be a rock under our feet. God never gives man the opportunity to have the first word. And he's certainly not going to give man the last opportunity. Now, in between the first and the last, man may run his mouth. But God has the last word. He also has the first. He says, "I am the first and the last." By that he says, "I am the eternal, omniscient, unchangeable God. I am faithful." Our God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Our God is the God of Joshua, of Moses, and of John the Baptist. He is still able to do all that he said he would. He is omnipotent. He's the God who saves us, who keeps us, and who will care for us throughout all eternity. Ephesians 2 verse 7 says, "In the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." All these things are a rock under our feet because our God does not change, nor does the character of our God change one bit. Our God is a faithful God. You see, God doesn't change. God hates sin, and he will punish evildoers in due time. David said, "Our God is compassionate, and he is forgiving." This is also true of our great God. I like what Arthur Pink said. Arthur Pink said, "God cannot change. He cannot change for the better. He's already perfect. He cannot change for the worse. He's holy." I tell you, Pink had a grip of things. Whatever you think of Arthur Pink, doesn't matter. He knew the Lord. and he was able to write about the Lord. You just think of that statement he made. Our God doesn't change. He can't. He can't change for the better. He's already perfect. He can't change for the worse. He's holy. What a statement he makes. Can you imagine what that means? Just put it in human terms. Put it in human terms over a long marriage. The husband is always the same as he always was. The wife is always the same as she always was. No changes. Now think of our God. God has the same feeling for me today that he had when I was saved, that he had when Christ died for my sins on the cross in Calvary's Hill. That's what we sang about tonight. Great is his faithfulness. God has the same feeling, the same compassion, the same love that he always had when he sent his Son from heaven's glory to die for our sins. But second, God is not only unchanging, God is faithful. He is a faithful God. Psalm 36 and verse 5. The psalmist said, "Thy mercy, O God, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." Oh, the faithfulness of God. Lamentations 3:22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness." Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. We read, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." Think of that term. He was a faithful witness for God. He's a true representation of God. "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When men looked upon our Lord Jesus Christ, they saw all that God is." All that God is found in the person of Christ. Our Lord could look at Philip and say to him, as recorded in John 14, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He is the faithful witness. You know, we sang a hymn tonight at the Lord's Supper that caused my soul to rejoice. The last phrase of that hymn said, "Firstborn of many brethren, to thee be all the praise." What does it mean for our Lord to be the firstborn? Did you ever study the firstborn throughout Scripture? I want to tell you, it's exciting when you think of it. Firstborn. I believe the firstborn is going to have a double portion of everything. That's one of the reasons I believe there are going to be more people in heaven than in hell. Now, you may not agree with me, but I'll tell you this. I already know that he has twice as many angels. Revelation 12 says that Satan drew one third of the stars of heaven with him when he fell. That means that the Lord has two-thirds. He has twice as many of them. And I believe that expression, firstborn, has yet to be to the saints of God a revelation that far exceeds anything that we ever thought about. Firstborn of many brethren, to thee be all the praise. Oh, that causes us to worship. But not only that, God is not only faithful, the truth of God cannot change. And we want to consider that for a little bit. The truth of God cannot change. You know, there are some great writers over the years. One of them is Augustine or Augustine, whichever way you want to say it. But the last book that Augustine wrote, when it's translated into English, is called Retractions. In other words, he tries to write the errors of his previous books. You see, Augustine had changed. He saw things differently when he wrote his last book than he did when he was writing his previous books. And that is the way that's the way it is among men, even among religious leaders. Evolutionists and humanists like to take that point and say, nothing remains the same. Everything is in flux. Truth is in flux, especially ethics. That's what they like to say. But you see, friend, if there's no absolute right or wrong, culture makes up its mind as we go along, whichever culture you happen to be in. Things change from culture to culture. But the one thing the humanists fail to do, they fail to take into account that right and wrong are not determined by various cultures. Right and wrong is determined by Him who sits upon the throne, the God of the universe, the faithful God. And the faithful God has determined that truth is unaffected by time. Things were wrong 2,000 years ago. They're wrong today. There is an absolute. There is a standard. How do I know? Turn with me to Isaiah 40 and verse 6. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God is a faithful God. God's truth is faithful. Luke chapter 16, verse 17, we read these words. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. A tittle of the law is just a little mark in the Hebrew language, like the crossing of a T. The Lord says it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one of those little marks in the Hebrew language to fail. The faithfulness of the truth of God. Adultery was wrong 2,000 years ago. It's wrong today. And it will always be wrong. God doesn't change. God's word doesn't change because people think it should. It's true. Lying was wrong 2,000 years ago, and it's wrong today. And God says to his people in Ephesians chapter 4, about verse 26, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Do Christians lie? I wish they didn't, but they do. God says, wherefore, putting away lying. You see, God's word is based upon the unca- unchangeable character of our God. We have something in our hands that we can handle. That's why John, when he wrote his first epistle, he said, that which was from the beginning, which our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hands have handled of the word of life. We have what? The unchanging, faithful word of God. Now, with everything changing about us, we must focus our attention on the word of God and the unchanging God of the word. He is a faithful God. As a people, in America today, we are morally sick. We are morally sick in America. But God keeps his word. When God spoke to Noah in Genesis chapter 8, he said there's not going to be another universal flood. He said summer and winter, seed time and harvest is going to continue. Is God faithful? It has all my life. We have a faithful God. God's ways in creation are going to continue because God is a faithful God. Now let's apply this truth. Application number one. Because God is faithful, you and I should be faithful also. Because God is faithful, you and I should be faithful. This morning we mentioned Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 where we read, be ye imitators of God. Now we can't imitate God in his omnipotence, in his omnipresence, or in his omniscience. But here's an area that we can imitate God. He is a faithful God. And because we're joined to him by life, we should be faithful also. Now we're given to change, but that doesn't mean that we cannot change for the better. We're commanded in the last verse of 2 Peter to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow in grace and knowledge, we should also grow in faithfulness. In other words, when we say that because God is faithful, we ought to be faithful also, we mean this. Our word should be our bond. When we say something, we should be able to do it. Our beliefs, our words, and our ways. When we speak of our beliefs, the apostle prayed that we might be rooted and grounded in the word of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 and verse 7. In other words, our words in business, in marriage, in preaching should be our bond. That we believe what we say and we act upon what we say. Our word should be our bond. We should be faithful. Application number two. Because God is faithful, we should experience the assurance of love. God's mercies and his love are steadfast. His love for us is the same today as it was when he died for us. God has promised justice. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit their keeping, the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. We can wait until the judge gives his verdict. We need not defend ourselves. We can wait on our God to act. He is the faithful God. And this gives us the assurance of his love. The assurance of his love rests in the fact that our God is faithful. He is faithful to his creation. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his people. Think of it. God has promised us eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has promised. And when we tell a sinner that if he'll believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, God will save him and he'll give him eternal life, we can say that on the foundation and on the basis that our God is faithful. Furthermore, God has promised us who are his own the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Furthermore, our Lord has promised to return for his people. The scripture says, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Our Lord is coming again. That is a blessed hope of the child of God. I was reared in a home. My father was saved late in life. He was over 40 years old when God saved him. And he looked for the Lord to come every day. He was a village blacksmith. He couldn't sing any better than I can. And I can still hear him singing as he hit the anvil, the hammer on the hot iron on the anvil. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day is coming. Oh, glorious day. The Lord keeps his word. This is the assurance of the love of Christ. We have an unchanging, a faithful God. He's coming again. You know when he's coming? I know. He's coming. He said so when he's coming. He said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Robert Murray M'Cheyne, that great Scottish preacher, was walking home from preaching one night with two of his deacons, one on each side. And we'll call the one of them Deacon John, the other one Deacon James. He said to Deacon John, he says, Deacon John, do you really believe tonight that the Lord is coming tonight? And that's a searching question, friends. After a long period of silence, he said, to be honest with you, I'm not expecting him tonight. Said, Deacon James, are you expecting the Lord to come tonight? And after a long period of searching, heart searching, said, to be honest with you, I'm not expecting him tonight. And they walked along silently for a while. And Robert Murray M'Cheyne said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the more confused and immoral our world gets, we sang at the close of the Lord's Supper tonight, deeper grows the darkness round us, fiercer grows the strife. And the thought is, yet our Lord will soon appear. be appearing, yield me but with life. Watch for me, he said, for I am coming. And the scripture tells us, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show forth his death till he come. I remember Stephen Olford saying something I really loved. He says, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we show forth the faith of the church. His death, that's the faith of the church. Every time we partake of the emblems of the Lord's Supper, we show forth the future of the church. Till he come, he's coming again. Oh, I loved that when I heard him say it. These things you don't forget. Our God is faithful. This is the assurance of his love. Application number 3. Because God is faithful, you need to trust him. He's the one unchanging thing, person, in the universe. I hate to speak of God as a thing, but the only thing in the universe that is unchanging is a person. The person of God. In other words, you must build your life upon his word. If you're building your life upon anything but the word of God, it's sure to fall. That's what our Lord said at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man who built his house upon a rock. And of course, the one who hears and does not is building his life on the sand. And when the storm came, the house fell. And the scripture says, great was the fall of it. Don't build your life on business. If you do, it's going to all come to an end. Don't build your life upon some man or some woman, for they'll fail too. But the life that he's built upon the word of God will endure forever. Why? The word of the Lord, we read in Isaiah 40, endureth forever. And that's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 1. All things change, but God doesn't. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we want to read verses 5 and 6. Where we read in verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Cursed is a man that trusts in man. Don't build on man. Notice verses 7 and 8. Notice the contrast. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Where are you building? Now you're building somewhere. Every one of us is building somewhere. Where are you building? Are you building upon the word of man? Or are you building upon the word of the God who changes not, who is faithful in every detail? Where are you building? Application number 4. Because God is faithful, you and I should worship him. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness to all generations. There's a lady in Burlington who is dying. The family was standing by the bedside, and I came in and I ministered to her on this verse. She was going to die within an hour. I didn't know it then. But I quoted this verse to her, and I ministered to her on the subject of the faithfulness of God. When it was finished, I said to her, "Mrs. Pickard, you know we sing that as a chorus with the children. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." I said, "Would you like me to sing it?" She said, "Oh, no, not with your voice." She was at death's door. And I tell you, she brought the house down. Everybody in the room, instead of being filled with sorrow, were filled with joy. She was rejoicing over the faithfulness of God, and she didn't want it to be spoiled. And you want to know something? You know what I spoke about at her funeral? The faithfulness of God. I spoke on this text. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. That's worship. There's a man there at the funeral that afternoon. A number of years ago, he took a stand against me. I've loved him ever since. I loved him then. He said, "Phil, when you started to speak, it was nostalgic to me." And he said, "I have to have that sermon. I have to have your outline that you used on Psalm 89, verse 1. I said, "I'll certainly give it to you. I'll certainly give it to you." See, we have a faithful God. Our God changes not. Does it thrill you? We should worship because of who He is. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You tonight that You're faithful. Because You are, we should be too. Because You are, we have assurance of Your love. Because You are, we can trust You. And because You are, we can worship in Your holy presence. We marvel at Your grace. With Jeremiah, we can say, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Enable this family of believers who worship here to glory in the Lord, the God of our salvation, the faithful God, the unchanging God. Now we commend ourselves to You, and we commend this company to You and to the word of Your grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified, alone to Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.